the old Chinese proverb, may you live in interesting times. We've certainly got that. Washington, D.C. is certainly a fascinating place on multiple levels. And we will continue to monitor for the next press conference from the chief of Capitol Hill Police to find out any more information on the incident there this afternoon. 72 degrees, and joining us now is CBS News polling guru Sarah Dutton. Sarah, how are you this afternoon? Oh. Do we have you now?
Hello, yeah.
Hi.
Hello?
There. Yes, we've
there
got you now. Yes.
Hello,
we got
I'm fine, thanks.
Do we have any information on the reaction of the public to the government shutdown yet?
Well, we do. Our poll was conducted on Tuesday and Wednesday, so it was done entirely after the government shut down.
Okay.
So this really does measure Americans' reaction to the shutdown. 72% say they disapprove of the government shutting down as a result of differences about the health care law. Just 25% approve of the shutdown. But taking a little deeper look behind those numbers, what we also see is that majorities of Democrats and independents disapprove of the shutdown, but Republicans are divided. 48% of Republicans approve of the shutdown, 49% disapprove. And among people who say their supporters of the Tea Party, approval goes even higher. 57%, a majority of Tea Party supporters, approve of the shutdown. So there are really some big political differences behind those overall numbers.
So we're watching both political parties dancing as fast as they can in Washington, D.C., pointing at each other as you're responsible. So it appears that the people who were opposed to the shutdown, do you have a sense of who they're blaming for the shutdown?
Well, you know, we asked Americans overall who they blame for the shutdown, and Republicans get a little more of the blame than the president and Democrats. 44% blame the Republicans, 35% blame the president, the Democrats in Congress, another 17% blame both of them. And these numbers are very similar to what we found in a poll we conducted last week before the shutdown occurred, so we haven't seen much change there. But here's some another interesting peek sort of behind those overall numbers, and maybe it's not a big surprise. There's a lot of finger-pointing across the aisle in our poll as well. So among Republicans, 73% of them blame President Obama and the Democrats. And among Democrats in our poll, 76% blame the Republicans in Congress. So I think that sort of reflects what we're seeing happening in Washington as well. A lot of finger-pointing and blaming the other party.
Do you get a feel for how quickly the respondents to the poll want the shutdown to end?
Well, what we do know is how long they expect it will take before there's a resolution. And there's really some mixed news there. 51% of Americans think that this budget standoff is going to be resolved in the near future, but nearly as many, 42%, think it's going to take a long time to resolve. And so I don't think that demonstrates a whole lot of optimism on Americans' part, but certainly I think the poll also shows that Americans want both sides, both the president and Democrats, and Republicans in Congress to compromise, come to some kind of an agreement. 76% told us they want the Democrats to compromise. 78% want the Republicans to compromise. So I think that's sort of the overwhelming consensus here on this government shutdown that nearly 3 out of 4 disapprove of.
We're talking with Director of Polling for CBS News, Sarah Dutton. Sarah, do you get a feel if respondents think this crisis will be resolved before the next crisis takes the stage, that being the debt, raising the debt ceiling? Did anybody on either side of the equation see one crisis being resolved before the other one surfaces?
It's a good question. And, you know, I have to say that it's tricky to ask about these things when you sort of have the two, financial issues going on, one right after another one. It does get a little complicated. We do have some more data on Americans' views of the debt ceiling that will come out with at 6:30 tonight. But I think it's fair to say that Americans don't really want to see either the negotiations over the budget or the debt ceiling tied to discussions of the health care law. We certainly saw that in our poll last week as well, that's just not really seen as appropriate. So we will have more, though, on the debt ceiling later tonight.
Okay. We'll tune in for that. I appreciate your taking time to talk with us this afternoon, Sarah. It's always fun to talk with you.
And always nice to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Sarah Dutton from CBS News. And it appears that both parties have been successful in at least rallying their troops around them, and that both sides have successfully convinced their followers that it's all the other guy's fault. 590 WKZO time is 4:15. Oh, I thought you had something, you had breaking news or something.
No, I'm just agreeing with what you're saying.
Oh, okay. I thought there was something going on.
No, not yet.
Have we heard anything on when the next press conference is planned?
They're still saying...
any minute.
Any minute, yeah. What they had thought they were getting earlier was new live stuff, and that's what I was trying to tell you, but... But apparently that was still all the old recorded press conference that they were putting on the air that okay. They thought was the new live stuff.
Well, we've got Michael keeping an ear on this for you folks, and we'll bring it to you as quickly as we have new information. And the chief of police from the Capitol Hill Police said that there would be another press conference about 4:15, and I am seeing pictures of the police carrying away a very young child from the car of the shooter. The child looked to be 3-4 years old, toddler size, and so apparently the report of a child being in the suspect's car was correct. We'll get details of this and all the other happenings on Capitol Hill here in the next few minutes when we hear directly from Capitol Hill Police Chief Dine.
Common questions online.
590 WKZO time is 4:17. Raj Taylor with you, driving you home this afternoon. Trying to keep up to speed on the police, the chase from the White House to the Capitol Hill that took place earlier this afternoon in the 2 o'clock hour. We have confirmed that the driver who began the incident with trying to ram the gates at the White House and was then chased by Secret Service to Capitol Hill, where the chase ended at a barrier there. And apparently the driver was killed. There have been reports of a child being in the car with her. That was not confirmed the last time we heard from Capitol Hill Police Chief Dine, but we're expecting confirmation of that since we're seeing video footage of taking away a young child from the scene of the shooting. One police officer was harmed in this chase, not by bullets, but by injury from hitting a police car, hitting a fellow officer. And we expect a press conference any minute now. And when we do, we will carry that for you live. Mostly cloudy, warm, and humid this afternoon and tonight. A couple of showers and a thunderstorm, perhaps. 75 the high today, and a low tonight of 63. Partly sunny, very warm and humid on Friday with a shower or thunderstorm. Very warm, 84 degrees. Saturday, variably cloudy, warm and humid, showers and thunderstorms. Some of those thunderstorms could be strong and gusty, especially in the afternoon. You'll want to, especially if attending football games, keep an eye on the and an eye to the sky, because some of those storms Saturday afternoon may be severe. And Western is playing at Toledo on Saturday. Is that right, Michael?
Yeah.
Okay. And they're close enough that if we're potentially having severe thunderstorms, they may there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps a morning shower on Sunday, otherwise breezy and cooler and gradually becoming sunny, but a high of just 68 degrees. So a big change in the weather coming up this this weekend. And hopefully we will avoid any of the truly severe storms that would cause injury. 73 degrees in Kalamazoo and bright cloudiness out there. And but a chance of some showers. We really do need the rain. We haven't had much rain during the month of September and so far in October. So hopefully we will get some showers out of this change in the weather that's headed in our direction. Day three of the government shutdown included some new warnings on what might happen if Congress doesn't increase the U.S. government's borrowing limit. The warnings increased pressure on lawmakers today as the government crept toward the October 17 debt deadline. Failing to raise the debt limit would be a serious blow to the world economy. International Monetary Fund Managing Director Christine Lagarde said today in a speech in Washington, D.C., quote, the federal government shutdown is bad enough, but failure to raise the debt ceiling would be far worse, and it would be very damaging to the U.S. economy, but to the entire global economy, she said. So it is mission critical that this be resolved as soon as possible. Lagarde's warning echoed those of private sector economists as worries grow over the ability of Congress and the president to figure out some agreement that would permit the $16.7 trillion limit to be raised and allow the government to borrow enough money to pay its current bills. Meanwhile, the Treasury Department issued a report Thursday detailing economic damage of the limit impasse on summer of 2011 and predicting that worse would occur if Congress doesn't take action on the borrowing limit before October 17th. The date on which the Treasury will have exhausted all extraordinary measures to stay within the current borrowing limit. And what do you think? I asked Sarah Dutton, and they're going to release some polling at 6:30 this evening in time for the CBS Evening News. Do you think we will resolve the funding of government, resolve the shutdown that we're experiencing before we have to get our arms around the debt ceiling crisis? And do you see this impasse continuing? And how do you think this is going to be resolved? And will one issue be resolved before it rolls into the next? 382-4280, 877-382-4280. I'm not convinced personally that we're going to find a way out of this. It seems the president is, this crisis of refusing the debt ceiling and refusing to fund the government has come up time and time again. And it's his position that we can't run a government this way, that we can't careen from one crisis to another. And he appears to have drawn a line in the sand saying that no more negotiation over this. In the case of Obamacare, the law has been passed. It stood the test at the Supreme Court. It is a law on the books, and we talked to Dottie Lynch earlier in the week, and there is no historical precedent for a political party wanting to repeal a existing law without actually repealing the law. In this case, Republicans have chosen to not fund the government until Obamacare is undone, and the debt ceiling increase is out there as a negotiating tool as well. But the president seems to be saying enough is enough. What do you think? We've got a couple of minutes before we go to CBS News, 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Mostly cloudy, warm, and humid today. No showers showing up on radar as we speak. Expected high 75. We're at 73 degrees in Kalamazoo. Raj Taylor driving you home this afternoon and keeping an eye on the what's happening in Washington, D.C., where there was a shooting on Capitol Hill. We'll get an update from CBS coming up in just a little over a minute. And the driver of the car that began the incident by trying to crash in through the White House gate, one of the White House gates, and then was subsequently chased to Capitol Hill by the Secret Service. The incident ended there with the driver of the car, a woman, being shot by police after exchanging gunfire with the police. And the car had a child in it, and we'll learn more when we get the next press conference from the chief of police on Capitol Hill, and we'll go to that when it happens, but CBS News is next. 590 WKZO time is 431, 73 degrees now in Kalamazoo. An eventful Thursday afternoon. We're still watching the happenings in Washington, D.C. at Capitol Hill, waiting for the most waiting for the next press conference by the Capitol Hill police chief that had been scheduled for 4:15 and has not happened. But we'll bring that to you as it takes place. Joining me now from Richland is Chris. Chris, is this the current crisis in Washington? Will it be resolved before the next scheduled crisis? And the next one is obviously raising the budget ceiling. Or do you see this being resolved, both issues at the same time? Chris, can you hear me now? 590 WKZO in Kalamazoo. Let's go to the other line. Chris, can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. There you go. Is this crisis going to be resolved before the next manufactured crisis, or do you see these both being resolved at the same time and the government shutdown going on for another 10 days or so?
It could go on for another 10 days or so, but, you know.
So you're thinking that it'll get resolved, the current budget, the continuing resolution to fund government, and the debt ceiling will be resolved is one big crisis versus resolving each one on their own.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think that they're going to have to resolve the debt ceiling crisis, and it's going to have to be tied to something real, you know, and this continuing crisis of the continuing resolutions, you know, this is what happens when parts of government don't do their jobs, and namely the Senate.
No, mainly the House of Representatives,
oh,
Chris.
The Senate, the continuing resolution is not the way to pass a budget.
Well, Chris, we're not talking about what's wrong in Congress. The thing we're focused on at this point is, will we resolve one of these manufactured crises before the next one?
And I said they probably will get resolved at the same time.
Okay.
Hopefully before that happens. Hey, Roger.
Thanks for sharing your opinion. I appreciate your jumping in.
Roger.
590 WKZO time is 3:41, and joining us now from Three Rivers is Alan. Alan, how are you this afternoon? And Alan, are you?
Yes.
Hello, Alan?
Yes.
Hi. Do you think we will resolve the current crisis in Washington before the budget ceiling crisis?
No.
Okay. Why do you think that?
If you look at yesterday's message with Dottie Lynch,
mm-hmm.
I heard three times, it's a law, you've got to live with it.
Mm-hmm.
I have three questions.
Okay.
We went through a civil war 160 years ago over slavery.
Yes.
It was the law. You want to go back to that? We have had 4 years where the Senate has not passed a budget. That's
well, but we
no, wait,
but,
wait, wait.
But they did pass a budget, and then the House refused to negotiate.
This last year.
Okay.
According to the law in the Constitution, the House of Representatives has to start all of the budgets. They have put out their budgets. The Senate has not.
Correct.
The executives have not.
Correct.
They are just going to spend. If you want to go broke, back into slavery, be my guest. I do not
what
want
does,
to
no,
go
wait there. A minute. Wait a minute. I'm missing your connection here. How are we going to bring back slavery? What does that have to do with what we're talking about, Alan? I'm not following you.
Okay. You keep saying it's the law. It's passed the constitutional test of the Supreme Court. It's the law. It's the law. It's the law.
Yes, yes. And there are methods to repeal laws that you don't like. And there's plenty of evidence of that happening. Laws have been taken down by subsequent legislative action.
Correct.
And so, but once the law is in effect, there's never been a historical precedent for one party holding the country hostage. You either give us what we want, take this law we don't like down, or we're going to ruin the credit rating of the country, or we're going to let the government stop functioning. There's no historical precedent for that ever happening before, Alan.
What about prohibition and what about secession? What about the Civil War? I go back 160 years. Every time we had prohibition, it didn't work because a lot of people did not follow it.
And it was taken down. You didn't have a political party taking the country hostage and say, we're going to ruin the country's credit rating if you don't let us drink beer anymore. Give me one example of anybody other than our current Republican-controlled House of Representatives that has ever held the country credit rating in their hands and said, if you don't give us what we want, we're going to harm our country. Give me one example of any other political party ever doing. No, you didn't.
I did. I gave you the American Civil War. The secessionists did not want what Washington was going with. They wanted Lincoln out, and they held the whole country, North and South, to damage the whole country, North and South.
So, yes, we had a civil war.
And is that where we're going to go this time in order to get the Senate to produce a decent budget?
Well, I would turn the question around to you, Alan, and that is, are we going to have to go to war with the red states to keep them from ruining the country's credit rating and tanking the world economy?
Who is not negotiating right now?
The House of Representatives. They keep saying, you give us what we want or we won't authorize a debt ceiling increase and we won't fund the government. You take that Obamacare away. We don't like it.
Who put the red line in the red states? Who put the non-negotiating? Who has stated right up front he's not going to negotiate? The Senate, Mr. Reed.
So you think the country should just careen from one manufactured crisis to another with every 6 months or year the Republicans getting in a snit and threatening to harm the country? And you're suggesting the president should just live with that? What if we had a Republican president next time, and then Democrats in the Senate said we're going to double the food stamp program? We've got a lot of hungry people in this country, and we're going to double the food stamp program or SNAP program.
We have already done it.
Unless you do that, we're going to force your government to shut down, Mr. Republican President. What would your reaction be if there was a Republican president and the Democrats were taking the same strategy that the Republicans are now and shutting the government down and threatening to ruin the country's credit rating? Do you think a Republican president should live with that?
No.
Okay, thank you. We agree. So the problem is in the House of Representatives. I think we've reached an agreement, Alan.
The problem is in the constant overspending of what the government, all three parties.
That has nothing to do with why they're shutting the government down now.
Too.
No, it doesn't. They're shutting the government down because they don't like Obamacare. The deficit is fixing itself. The deficit is half what it was when President Obama took over from George Bush. And the trajectory of the deficit is continuing to decline. Republicans are not talking about the deficit at all, Alan. I don't know what world you're living in, but the Republicans are talking about.
I'm living in a working world who's paying no taxes that pays for my government.
But the Republicans are not talking about deficit. You're just making this up now.
I'm not either. The General Office of Accounting for the Congress has said that our deficit has doubled since George Bush left. It's no longer George Bush. It is Mr. Obama.
Yes. The conditions that George Bush left the country in were devastating. But that's not what we're talking about here, Alan.
Let me say this. You may go with the Republicans being the biggest problem in Washington.
Okay, I agree with you on that. See, we've reached agreement. The Republicans are the problem in Washington.
Okay, when the country goes broke, tell me who.
Well, that's going to happen here in a couple of weeks when if the Republicans in the House run the country into the ditch. Yeah, that's going to happen sooner versus later.
Two thirds of the government when the country goes broke.
What's that?
Tell me who's going to be in charge of two-thirds of this government when we go broke.
Well,
it's not going to be Republicans. Thank you for your call.
If you don't raise the debt ceiling, that's what's going to cause the problem, Alan. And I think you're missing the point. 590 WKZO time is 4:49. And we're going to take one more call on this topic. Mark in Colon. Mark, how you doing this afternoon?
Just fine. First question, what was the CBO score when this was passed?
I have no idea.
800 billion. It's tripled. The CBO has tripled the score of this health care bill before it's even began.
Where are you getting these facts from?
Information has been provided by the CBO. The CBO said it was, I think, 800 billion over 10 years. Now it's like 1.8 trillion or something for 10 years for healthcare. So it's tripled because the CBO scores it based upon information provided. The information was false.
But repealing Obamacare, wait a minute, Mark, but repealing Obamacare would immediately increase that deficit by $100 billion.
Well, I don't know. Where'd you get that figure from? I know I got my health care bill the other day, and it went up 40%.
Well,
I think major medical deductible,
Then clearly, Mark, you need to use the new facilities that are out there.
I tried that, and it was more. Bronze was more. Bronze was more
than
what I'm paying.
Then apparently you need one of the navigators to help you with this.
Because in other
states, they're finding the insurance rates have decreased by half or in some places even more. Well, you can deny the facts, Mark. But
the poor people who need insurance, I realize that, we're still stuck with 30 million uninsured. The other issue is they can get the bronze program. They don't have 5,000 to meet the deductible. Their health care is not going to improve at all because they've got to come up with the first 5,000. There's no chance that will help them unless they have a major health issue, which, you know, at that point it helps them, but you know, for most people, it's a day-to-day thing.
We've gotten off on a tangent here. We're talking about whether or not we like the Obamacare.
And that's what I'm talking about.
I know, and that's not the topic we're on. The topic was the Republicans in Congress create these crises regularly. Let me finish the question, Mark, before you interrupt. And the first crisis that we've created here is the lack of a continuing resolution to keep the government working. And then in a few days, we're going to have yet another manufactured crisis when Republicans threaten to tank the credit rating of the United States by causing the country to default on its debt.
Okay. I'm not getting into the debt issue.
The question is, that we were talking about is, will we resolve this first manufactured crisis, the continuing resolution, before we have to deal with the next crisis that the Republicans have created?
The last offer on the table that I know of was take the government employees, the Senate, House, whoever, and make them be part of Obamacare. That's fair. And the Senate rejected that. Why should they?
The Senate is saying they're not going to negotiate with people holding a gun to the country's head.
Not a gun to their head. Just make them be part of the
system. There is a law that has been passed and is in place.
Right.
There are regular processes for taking down laws that you don't agree with,
and that's called legislative action.
The Republicans are trying to extort what they want in this case by threatening to shut the government down and then tank the government's credit rating.
Unless you get everybody in it, basically close
but
to the
there you go,
system.
Mark. You're still fighting Obamacare. That's a done deal.
Don't give the waivers.
You're looking in the rearview mirror,
no,
Mark.
The law is the law. No waivers.
Sorry, we've got to run. We're not debating the merits of Obamacare. That's the law of the land. It's a done deal. It went into effect, and people started enrolling in it for the January 1st launch earlier this week. And it's past time to argue about Obamacare. It's the law of the land.
Pay attention to the streets and the broken homes.
Well, an interesting afternoon, if nothing else. CBS News will give us the current information on the shooting that took place on Capitol Hill this afternoon. That coming up in just a few minutes. That's going to do it for us today. I'll be back tomorrow afternoon, hopefully with a little less going on.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.